Beloved, beloved, this is an exciting time for us to be able to share with you again today. And we pray that God has just blessed your week and that this new week will get off to a great, great start in the name of the Lord. This truth of that we've been sharing, that we are the beloved of God and that the calling of God in our lives is to just simply enjoy that. Be loved. To experience, to believe, to know, and then to move into a behavioral future with this. I remember speaking of the beginnings and how we begin to learn that the love of Christ is going to change our lives. When I first got saved, maybe you know the story, some of you, but I was a total heathen. I had no knowledge. And so my knowledge was I met these Jesus people who had just come from a charismatic prayer gathering, and they shared Christ with me, this living, loving Christ. And as a result of this relationship, I got a Bible and I began to read the Bible, you know, just voraciously, just eat up the Bible. And I was birthed into the love of God. This business of being beloved just came to me because God loved me and I knew he loved me and I believed that he loved me. And so I started to move into this business of being beloved. And then as a part of this, all I know is the Bible, Spirit-filled, believing people who have enough joy to share Christ with people in a Dairy Queen, and this charismatic prayer gathering, which is every kind, stripe, size, color, every imaginable group of people. But then a friend of mine gave his life to Christ as a result of being a part of a small Assemblies of God church. He still pastors that church, by the way, now, after all these years, and powerful church now. But when I first went to that church and I first discovered the church, I discovered this whole world of Pentecostalism and this whole world of the church with its own sort of special set of language, a jargon that was clearly just church stuff. And Pentecostals are hysterical this way. I mean, the songs, they would talk about opening exercises for a Sunday school. And I thought, Should I wear shorts? You know, what are we, jumping jacks? What's this going to be? I was that raw. I was that uninformed about these things. And I remember, because the Pentecostal church, and we believe that people sometimes just are so overpowered by the Spirit of the Lord that they're faint. And so I remember someone asking me one time, just, have you been slain yet? And I thought, isn't it obvious? I'm breathing. I'm here. Obviously, I haven't been slain. I didn't understand the jargon. I didn't understand the word burden. You know, you had to have one in order to be significant as a Christian, but it looked and felt like a really miserable kind of thing. And then there's this one that we're actually going to talk about a bit today because John talks about it. And it's that idea of the victory. You know, have you got the victory? And people would always be looking for the victory. And whatever this was, I would listen to them talk about it, and I thought, this is a highly prized but elusive little creature because everybody wants to have it. And you surely know when you get it because everything changes for the better. But you got to be really careful because you can lose that thing before you get out the back door. And then I came to realize what the scripture actually speaks about. In fact, this is a part of what John talks about today, that there is a victory that actually overcomes the world. There is a level of a relationship with God where you as the beloved can know that you are being loved by the Lord. And this is the central truth that we want to share with you today. God is more concerned with the way that you love than the way that you live. Knowing that you are beloved and knowing that the call of God is to be loved is more important than obligation on duty. Devotion trumps duty every time. Because when you know you are loved, this will change the way that you live. The way you live will not change the way that you love. You can't live your way into the love of Christ. But you can, from the love of Christ, live your way into a dynamic and powerful faith. And this is what John is helping us to know today. This is what we're investigating today. And so it's a gift that comes from the Lord, his love, and the calling is to be loved. So you get it. And then once you get it, you've got it. You can't improve upon it. You've got it. You can own it. You can learn it. You can know it. And that is good.
Absolutely good. But you got to get it first.
Yes.
And it may seem like, And you guys keep going over this over and over and over again. But John keeps going over it over and over again because he wants to make sure that everyone gets it. Yes. What does he want us to get? He wants us to get that it's a love relationship. You're in a love relationship. So let's look at verses 1-3 here in chapter 5. He says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And I love this next sentence. And his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. What's his commandment? To be loved. And when we are loved, man, everything else is so much easier. But when you try to fight for, when you try to work for, when you try to get everything right, it's burdensome. But when you do the right thing, everything changes. What's the right thing? Is to be in a loving relationship. It's the way you love. It's what it's all about. He starts off with that using that word believe. Everyone who believes. Why do we believe? We believe because he first loved us. Somewhere along the line, someone told you that there was a God of the universe who loved you enough to go and have his life taken so that he might receive your life, so that you might be able to enter into a relationship with a God who loves you. And something happened inside and you said, I believe that in my heart. In my heart of hearts, I may not fully understand it, but I believe the God of the universe would do something so that I could be in this loving relationship with him. So it starts with us recognizing and that he loves us and then believing it. And then what happens is then we're able to respond. We're able then to go back and love him back. And that's why I like us having to get this over and over again, because everything in this world forces us to work for it, forces us to strive to get the things that we want. And God says, here's the best thing. And if you get it, then everything else changes. And it's the love that I have for you. Now you've moved into this love relationship that now you can respond to his love. It's one thing to receive it. Then you move into a life that begins to respond to it and give it back. You begin to live a life of devotion rather than duty. I like where John says, for this is the love of God. There's a substance of the love of God that's different than everything else. The love that I produce on my own, the kind of love that I try to trump up and try to work up and try to manufacture in myself, it falls woefully short. Because it's a humanistic form of love, but the purest form of love, there's a substance of love that can only be received in this relationship with the Almighty God. And that loving relationship is what we receive. And then, as we even looked at last week, we recycle that. We give that toward other people. And there's this growth in it because John, he says, whoever loves the Father, And that there's this response back that we begin to do towards the Father, that when we love him, it changes the way we live. Yeah. Because now it's not just a matter of now I'm loved, but because I'm loved, I can live differently. In fact, there's an old story been told a number of different times about a wealthy man who had a wife and a child. And while his child was young, his wife passed away. And so he hired a nanny to come and help him take care of his son. And over time, the nanny just grew to love his son. And then as time passed, his son died. And when his son died, literally the father had nothing to live for, and he ultimately died. And with no extended family, they searched and could not find this wealthy man's will. And here the whole estate and everything that he owned was getting ready to go to the state. And the nanny so loved the son that she only wanted one thing. And it was the picture that the father had done of his son. And she took and was able to get that picture. And as she took that picture home, she cherished it because she cherished the sun. And as she began to clean it and wipe it, she turned away, turned it over on the backside. And as she took the back off to actually take care of the picture, the will fell out. And when she read the will simply stated that whoever loved my son enough to want this picture received all of his estate. And I think that that's the heart of the Father, that we love his son. And it begins and really ends in this relationship with him. Everything in life, everything that we have stems from this love relationship that we receive from the Father and give back to him and ultimately recycle towards everybody else. And this, beloved, is what John wanted us to get.
Yes.
That's what he wanted
us
to get.
So when we get it, you've got it.
Yeah.
Why do I have this? I have this to have this. Yeah. There's the beauty of a gift. This gift comes from the Lord, and it's to be enjoyed. It's to be received. It is to be, you know, rejoiced in. It's to be experienced. There's nothing wrong with a little child running around the house just singing at the top of their lungs, Jesus loves me, this I know. Because this is the reality that the little child in all of us ought to be running around and singing all of the time. Because nothing, not the ups, the highest highs or the lowest lows, not the very best days or the very worst days, can change the reality of the substance. Because this is the love of God for us. This is the eternal, the everlasting, the powerful, unchanging love of God. And so when you get this, you've got this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is he's the way and the truth and the life. He's not just the entry point to this amazing journey. He's the destination as well. And so what am I saved for? I'm saved by this love of God, this loving offering that he makes, this loving relationship that he extends to me. And what am I saved for? I'm saved for this loving relationship that he extends to me. And so beloved. And it goes on in 1 John chapter 5 to say this in verses 4 and 5. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, subdues the world, wins over the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now we're back to that verse again that we talked about earlier. I talked about the Christian jargon and the victory. And it was a very kind of complicated time for me because I kept thinking, well, I don't know what all this is really, but it's really an important thing to have. Now I'm reading in 1 John. I'm reading this actual passage. And I thought, well, wait a minute. If these people have lost the victory and the victory is a part of their faith, then no wonder they're miserable. These people have lost their faith. And so I remember the next time somebody sort of suggested to me that they didn't have the victory, I just piped up with, so you've lost your faith? And you'd have thought I slapped them. I mean, it was like, oh, no, no. And I thought, well, isn't that the victory that overcomes the world? You see, it's one thing to know it, John said. It's another thing to believe it. It's another thing to actually lay hold upon that for yourself. And so this is the victory that overcomes the world. You understand the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done, the victory that he's actually wrought over death and hell and the grave. He, by the offering of himself, has taken sin out of the way. And because sin has been taken out of the way, the price has been paid. The wage of sin is death, but he died and was raised again from the dead. He conquered the power of death. And so for those of us who live in this fear, we live in this, I have an enemy that I can't overcome, and that enemy is death. Well, the Bible says he's overcome this enemy. The last enemy that shall be destroyed, the scripture says, is death. Make no mistake, God counts death as an enemy because it's the wage of sin. But God has come. He has come through Christ to take sin out of the way and to conquer death once and for all. And now he is the first fruits of those of us who will live forever in this glorious relationship with the Lord. And so this is the reality of the faith. This is what we believe. We believe in the person of Jesus Christ. We believe in the power of Jesus Christ, what he has done. We believe this, and this is what moves us into this victorious place of living. This is the Nike that nikows the world. That's how it actually says it. Most of you are familiar with the swoosh. You know, in fact, it's that's a good logo. When it's so good that as soon as you put the logo up, everybody goes, "Oh, Nike." Well, that's a little bit of a mispronunciation. It's actually Nike, but still, this is the victory that overcomes the world. This Greek word is right here in the scripture. This is the Nike that nikows the world. And so the victory that God gives us of faith is what empowers us to live in Christ and to know that Christ lives in us. And so what he's done is now our property. Why? Because we've gotten it from him. You get it? You've got it. And so he gives us this powerful thing. And now our plan is to just live in this, to move in this, to operate from this place of faith every day. So we're not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from a place of victory. We've already won. We've already received eternal life. This life is given to us through God. And so we believe this. We're now in a powerful place where what he's giving, we're getting. Mm-hmm. He's putting it out there, and we're receiving this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is forever good.
Forever good. In fact, it really moves you into this life that is the best life. And of course, we live in a world where every time you turn on the television or every time you go on social media, they're saying, this is what makes the good life and this is what the good life. But when you get it, that you're in this love relationship and then you've got it and you're living from a place of victory, where victory is something that launches you to the next place, the road of the good life. Is what John writes about next. And let's go ahead and read this, verses 6 through 12. He says, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water alone, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater." Why is he doing this? Because he's taking us back to ultimately the greatest thing is to be in the greatest relationship, in this love relationship with the one who's greater than any man. The testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has born concerning his son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. So every time Jesus said, what you see, when you see me, you see the Father. So when we see the testimony of Jesus, it's testifying to the Father. Whoever does not believe God made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So this good life that John is ultimately talking about, the good that is ultimately the result, is he moves us into this place where we can align ourselves with absolute truth. In a world so full of voices that are screaming all sorts of personal testimonies that are lies. And we live in a world where you can watch a video and be totally deceived on what's actually going on. We can come right back to what is actually true, and that's Jesus Christ. And we know that the testimony of Jesus Christ speaks perfectly of the one that we are in relationship, the Father, this love relationship. And so the good life ultimately aligns itself with the truth. You find in that scripture time and time again, John refers to testimony. What is the testimony? What is the statement about what took place? And what took place with Jesus is this act of love for you and for me. And so what happens ultimately in this, that we are able to accept and receive this ever growing gift. I like what he said, God gave. God is in the gift-giving business. He gives us things time and time again. And that means that we are in the receiving business. Yes. It doesn't mean that, oh, you gave me that. Now I have to give you the bigger gift. I love a little clip that I seen from a television comedy that was it just a bunch of brainiacs. And in the television show, this girl brings a gift to one of the guys who just doesn't like gift giving because you always have to give a better gift. And she brings to him a napkin that from her work. And on her on the napkin is a signature of Leonard Nimoy. And for a geek, getting a signature from Leonard Nimoy is like the ultimate. But Leonard Nimoy actually apologized because before he signed the napkin, he used the napkin. And for this guy that was the geek, he's like, oh, it not only has his signature, but it has his DNA. And so what does he do? He goes and basically buys a department store of gifts for the one who just gave him that napkin. And I think a lot of times that's what we do. We get this incredible gift, and then we think that we have to one-up God. And so we do things, and we try to work ourselves to the bone to try to one-up God. Mm-hmm. But he just calls us to be loved. Just enjoy this wonderful, awesome gift that he's given us. That's the good life. And I believe that a big part of that comes from us really not just accepting Jesus, but recognize that we have been accepted in Jesus. So there's the receiving, but then there's the giving ourselves fully into that relationship, fully into him and the things that he has for us that we don't have to earn to it. We can just sit in the middle of it and enjoy it. And here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is that he's given us eternal life. So there's an assurance that no longer do we have to strive, no longer do we have to work for, no longer do we have to position ourselves to qualify. We are just assured that the life that we have received, the life that we are receiving, the life that we are living in is also the life we'll receive after this life because we've already received it now. And there's nothing better than that. It is good at its best. So you get it, then you got it. And man, is that good.
That is good. That is good. And it's clear. It's not just good. It's clearly good. There's no jargon here. There's no, ooh, how do you get this? What's this going to look like? The one who has the Son of God has life. And the one who doesn't, doesn't. And this is the clear reality that we want to share with you today. And we certainly want you to, we're sharing it for a purpose so that you will know, that you will believe, that you will have this assurance. You will align yourself with this truth in a way that helps you to know that you're accepted in the beloved. Beloved, beloved. This is the truth of God. God has made it available. He's offered the gift through Christ. And whosoever will can receive this gift. Whosoever will, whosoever has the Son, then in him has this eternal life. So we receive, we recycle, we rejoice in the middle of all of this kind of thing. And then we just repeat this again and again and again. And so our prayer for you this week is that you will experience the love of Christ in a powerful, life-changing, life-altering way, and that you will not feel compelled by this to go run out and do something or, you know, I've got to pay back. No. Just rejoice. Just rejoice. And then share this with everybody, everywhere, every day. And I believe God will give you a powerful and wonderful, overcoming, victorious Christian life. So, Father, we pray that for everyone in the house of faith that we are a part of and in the extended family of faith that we're a part of in the world. We pray, God, that you will help each one to live in this full assurance, to live in this wonderful place of a victory, of a faith that literally overcomes the world because you've overcome the world. You've given us this gift of your gracious love, and we are rejoicing as we receive your truth, as we receive your love, as we understand we're beloved, we are being loved. And we love you, Lord, and we love one another, and we love sharing this with everyone, everywhere, every day. So we pray that for each and every one, a powerful, wonderful week of victory. Victory, real victory that overcomes the world, living in the love of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.